blessed to be back from a vacation down in Atlanta for almost a month. I saw my new grandson, and we had a wonderful time. Visited a couple of churches down there, and it was fun. But like Pastor said, when you're away, you're thinking about home more than you're out of vacation. And that was the case with us. It's nice, but it was nice to be back home. And I enjoyed it. And it's Atlanta's is something else. But I'm happy with where I am. And we thank God for being able to get back in one piece, because it didn't have to go the way that it went. And I'm very, very, very happy that we went and saw the grandchild and saw the birth and everything, and we stayed a little bit over, but it's time to come back home. Deacon Gavin, would you turn to 2 Corinthians 5 and verse 17, please?
King James Version. Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new.
Interlinear.
Now, from the Greek interlinear text, 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 17. So as, if anyone in Christ, a new creation, the old things passed away, behold, they have become new.
Okay. The text that we're dealing with is, today is a very engaging text, in that it covers many things. It has nothing to do with the flesh. It has all of the stipulations of spirituality, and we are transported through time from our present time zone into the realm of God. And God doesn't use time as a criteria, only when he's dealing with us. And so we look here at from the grace perspective, and the grace perspective is looking bird's eye view down to the broad view, and we get a lot of information when we look at it from the grace point of view. And we're going to take a look at that compared to the time perspective. Grace perspective has no time passes at all, because we are in the presence of God, who uses time for this convenience. The Apostle Paul wrote this message to the Corinthian church, and it was written, the second epistle. He had written one before, and he dealt with this what we're going to deal with today. We're going to start with 1 Corinthians chapter 5 and verse 1.
Corinthians chapter 5, verse 1, King James Version.
What's it? Yeah. 2 Corinthians, I'm trying to. 5 and verse 1.
Correction. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 1, King James Version. For we know that if our earthly house of this tabernacle were dissolved, we have a building of God, an house not made with hands, eternal in the heavens.
Now, when we look at this particular scripture, and it says when, but actually in the Greek it says if, so it's letting you know that it's a fact that we're going to kick out of here. And we're going to, the Bible tells us in Hebrews chapter 9, verse 27, as it is appointed to man once to die, and after that the judgment. And we want to know that we have the thing that we want to take a look at here is that we have a building and house that is not made with hands, eternal in the heavens. We're going to all kick out of here one day. Make no mistake about it. Now we can make all the supplements we want and all the things about life and everything and wishes and all of that, but the fact of the matter is that you're going to leave here one day. Yesterday I saw three funerals. Three. And I said, well, that's how it is, but you're going to leave here one day. Now, for cooperation's sakes, I want to turn to Romans chapter 5 and verse 12. And before we restart reading, What has got man into trouble? He has good intentions and good inclinations and everything, but what has got man into trouble? When he makes money, he'll start foundations. He will do all of the things that seemingly is right. But the fact of the matter is, he is guided by his own genes, and in Romans chapter 5 and verse 12, I think that we can see Romans 5 and 12, wherefore by one man sin entered into the world, and death by sin, and so pass upon all men, for all have sinned. Now, it doesn't matter how much we think of our nature or anything, but the fact of the matter is we come here with a flawed nature. Our nature is flawed from the beginning, and it has a historical or historicity from Adam, by him following the woman and eating of the fruit which God told him not to eat, and that poisoned our genetic structure. And everybody who's born into the world come under the same guise, outline. Mm-hmm. Wherefore, by one man sin entered into the world, so death was passed upon all men for all of sin. And you can't get around that. You're born a sinner. And if you know that and you will try to explain it and everything, don't try. You're born as a sinner. But God, looking at us from the ego standpoint and looking down on us on the broad plane of everything, he saw what our condition was. And he died for us, and this all happened before we got here. Everything happened before we got here. Everything, as far as we're concerned, has been taken care of. And now, you don't have to take a... You can get a spider, and you can put him here, and the spider will weave. He doesn't go to college to weave a net, a web. But he weaves that web to trap his foes and the things that he eats. And that spider knows what he's after, and he does it. He doesn't have a degree from university or anything. He just has the inclination and knowledge of his nature to build that web to attract his prey and eat them. A bird, he has no degree as far as engineering of that nest, anything. He just has the wherewithal or the wit that God has given him to build a nest. And that nest that he's given, that he builds, is for his family, for his little birds and everything. And he doesn't have all of the things that we think that he should have, but he's got enough to survive. Likewise, we have, and how do they do it? Well, the spider builds his web because that's his nature. And the bird builds his nest because that's his nature. We sin because it's our nature. That's our nature. You can't get around that. No matter how well intentioned you are, no matter how much you think you know anything, the fact of the matter is you're a sinner. And by nature, you're going to do things that are wrong. You can't get around that. But God, looking at us from the view of the perspective, sees that what we need is, we need help. And what he did was, he took it upon himself to help us. Because if it was left for us, we would be doing the same thing over and over and over. And when God made man, and Adam sinned and everything, he took on the very attributes of adultery, fornication, uncleanness, lasciviousness, idolatry, witchcraft, strife, seditions, all of these things, murders, drunkenness, and so forth. All of them he took on. And he has taken them, and he's to the nth degree. He is into the fact that he's got to do this in order to survive. He thinks that what he's doing is correct, but he's way off. Now, how does God get rid of the rudiments of the flood, the sin? Well, there's only one way to get rid of it. Death. Man dies. And that death destroys the sin. Not dissolve it, but destroys it. He destroys it. Why? Because it is something that he does not want us to have, and he's given us a place to go when we leave here, and he destroys that sin. That sin is destroyed. It can never come back and haunt you again. When you have gone and you have passed away, that part of you, the old man, is dead. It won't be revived to come back against you again. And so, we see here is that was done for us by God through an earnest of the Spirit, earnest hope of the Spirit. 2 Corinthians chapter 6 and verse 6. Yeah.
Reading from 2 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 6. In purity, in knowledge, in long-suffering, in kindness, in spirit a holy, in love unfeigned.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
This is what God has done for us. He has given us His Spirit in love unfeigned. It's not false. He's given to us our spirit in love, and it's not false. There's nothing false about it. He didn't do it the way we do it. Why? Because you're dealing with God. God does it His way. All right? So, we have to take a look at it and say, well, by what reason did God do this? Well, it's for purpose. That's why He did it. He did it for purpose. That's the reason why He did it. He didn't expect you to understand it because you don't. He did it for purpose. And everything that God does has a purpose behind it. He has purpose for the reason that He does it.
Amen.
So, we have to take a look at that, and we see that all of the things that come into our life and the things that we are involved in is through the grace of God, and it's through His ability to pull us out of any situation, and whatever we go through, there's a purpose behind it. If you're in at the barber shop or something like that, and somebody jumps in front of you and you get angry and everything, don't get angry or get mad or anything. Just think that there must be a purpose for what's happening. No matter how bad something is, there's a purpose behind it. If it's an accident or when somebody gets killed, there's a purpose behind it. God doesn't waste time not giving things a purpose. There's a purpose behind it. So, he says, therefore, when we are home in the body, we are absent from the Lord. I have a glorified body waiting on me in heaven right now. You have a glorified body waiting on you in heaven. I don't worry about dying because I'm going to the next step. I'm going to the step above. I'm going to a place where I'm going to be, I will be with God throughout all eternity. And all of this little mechanizations and stuff down here that I'm going through has no effect on me because I'm looking at the big picture. And the big picture is to be with God in the body of Christ. We got to get away from this thing about, well, stop making excuses. Get serious about this thing. You are in the body of Christ, and there is nothing that can happen to you that is not planned or pre-planned by God. Everything that you have seen and everything that involves you has been pre-planned by God. You don't have any kind of choice at all. It's all been pre-planned by God. And why not just take it and say, I'm looking at it from the perspective from above to the matrix down here, and I can just deal with it because God is in control. He's in control. No matter how bad things are, no matter how bad things get, God is in control. I'm not anxiously waiting to go home. I'm so quick to go home, but I know that I have a home when I leave this body, and that home is in heaven, and it's a glorified body waiting for me. Amen. And you got a glorified body waiting on you. I don't know what it looks like. I don't know. We walk by faith and not by sight. And when I look at it like that, it makes me feel much, much better. All of the
things that I'm going through down here don't mean a thing. Did you hear me? All of the things that I'm going through down here doesn't mean a thing. Because sooner or later, I'm going to kick out of here. And when I kick out, I'm going to a better place. We walk by faith and not by sight, and we know not what's going to happen. That's how life is. We all know what's going to happen, but we walk it. We go. We don't know, but we just take a look at 1 Timothy chapter 1 and verse 12. Timothy 1 and 12. Let's see, is that it? Let's see. 2 Timothy 1 and 12. That's it. For the which cause I also suffer these things. Nevertheless, I am not ashamed, for I know in whom I have believed, and I am persuaded that he is able to keep that which I have committed to him against that day. Look, I don't know a whole lot, but I know where I am with God.
That's right.
I know what is waiting for me when I leave. I'm just prepared to just wait on it. No matter how I go, I'm just waiting to go. Why? Because I have made a commitment to God, and nothing's going to stop it. And God has made a commitment to me by the death of the cross and all the things that go with it, and I can't lose my salvation. I can't lose my salvation. I have Christ in my life, in my heart, and I can't lose my salvation. And I'm going to get to that a little bit later. It doesn't matter what goes on, I am going to be with God. That's what he means to me. Now, you can go out and shuffle and flubble and everything, but as far as me, I'm concerned, I love the Lord. And I want to stay with him forever. And I'm planning on doing that.
Yes, Lord. Thank you, Jesus.
And it's not because I've been so good. Because I've been an outright devil sometimes. I know I have. But you know something? Thank God it's not about me being a devil. Or you being a devil. All of us being devils. The fact of the matter is, it's the statement that God has made for us in his word. And that should be enough for us to be involved with and in love with.
Right.
We are confident. Knowing that rather to be about the body, to be present will of the Lord. History does not, now, let's see, let's read that again. For we are confident, knowing that rather to be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. Now, what is this?
Absent from the body, present with the Lord, means. It means that when I die, or you die, you're going to be with the Lord.
No purgatory, nobody, no priest or somebody waving things over, you're going to be with the Lord. And the Republican Party and the Democratic Party does not write the story about God anything or no matter what they might think, but they have no understanding about what God is. The fact of the matter is that it's not what they think about what God is. It is history and it's his story. It is God's story, his story. Nobody else's. It's God's, his story. And why do you say that, Pastor? Well, why do you say that, Elder? Well, go back to the Ephesians. Ephesians chapter 1. Read that. 3.
We're reading from the book of Ephesians, chapter 1, verse 3, interlinear Greek text.
Yes.
Blessed the God and Father of the Lord of us, Jesus Christ, the having blessed us in every, or each and every blessing spiritual in the heavenlies in Christ.
Okay. If it's his story, he's the one who sets the parameters, and he's the one that shows us what's going to happen, and he started out by giving us what? He gave us blessings, spiritual blessings.
Right.
He's letting you know that you're not like other people. You're going to be getting blessings from me spiritual.
Right.
The Israelites was called upon signs, wonders, and miracles. You couldn't do enough. Every time they looked around, there was a sign, wonder, and miracle.
Yeah.
But with us, he gave it to us, blessings, spiritual blessings.
Yes.
You know what that means? That means something you can't feel, touch, hear, or smell.
Right.
It's something that is in within you that he gives to you that he wants you to follow him by.
Mm-hmm. Thank you.
Well, verse 4.
Verse 4, same chapter. As he chose us in him before foundation of world, being us holy and unblemished before him in love.
Okay, he chose so you know what? He chose you before the foundation of the world. That means before any universe, anything was out there, he chose you. He chose you to be in his body at that time. And it couldn't be anybody else doing anything because nobody was there. Nobody was there but God. Do you hear me? You're the only one that was there. He was the only one that was there. And he chose you. That's why it's his story. That's why it's his story. He chose you for spiritual blessing, and then he chose you for to be holy and without blame and all the things that goes with it. He chose you. It's him that did the choosing. Verse 5.
Predestinating us, or having predestinated us to adoption of sons through Jesus Christ to him, according to the good pleasure of the will of him.
Thank you, Jesus.
He blessed you with spiritual blessings, and he chose you for the foundation of the world. And then what he did was, he had predestinated you. All these things he did for you. That's why it's his story. He has a right to do what he wants to do because he's the one who started everything and who's the one who's following it out.
Yes, Lord.
I don't understand, people, why to say that somebody is saved or lost is spiritual blasphemy. Because Paul, when he was debating with those guys on Mars Hill or anything, he never said one time whether they were saved or lost or not. We don't know who's saved or who's lost. Amen.
Amen.
We don't know who's saved or who's lost. Just ourselves. So but the fact of the matter is that we don't know, and I'm not going to get into that anything. I'm just concerned about myself and my family, and you should be concerned about yourself and your family. But as far as who is saved and who's not, the Bible says in Nehemiah chapter 2 and verse 9 that God's salvation is of the Lord. That's corroboration. He's the one who determines who's saved and who's lost. Amen? So I don't know why we get the right to choose who's going to be saved. Man said on TV this morning, well, you can miss the rapture if you're a carnal Christian. Now, how many of us have done things that are carnality? Have been things that are carnal, and then how many of us have done things that are just not right? That's carnality, isn't it? I'm going on. But the fact of the matter is his story, because he gave us spiritual blessings. He chose before the foundation of the world. And he without blame, and then he predestinated us. So that's why it's his story. Amen? For we labor to be absent, to be present with the Lord, we may be accepted of him. Now, it
conduct is important.
Mm-hmm.
Yes, it's important.
Yes.
Conduct is important.
Yes.
But the fact of the matter is, you're going to check out of here whether your conduct is bad or good, and the fact of the matter is that you want to try to live a righteous life and a holy life.
Amen.
But the fact of the matter is, you're going to leave here. So what do I say? Well, we're going to go to Romans chapter 8, verse 35 to 39. And Romans is a book of masterpiece theology, because he covers everything. He covers the Gentiles, the Jews, and everybody else. Romans 8:35 to 39. Read that, Deke.
Reading from Romans chapter 8, beginning the 35th verse.
Who
us will separate from the love of Christ? Affliction, or distress, or persecution, or famine, or nakedness, or peril, or sword? As it has been written, for the sake of thee we are being put to death all the day.
Okay. It doesn't matter, okay, what shall separate you from God. Shall it be tribulation, distress, persecution, famine, nakedness, peril, or sword? Nothing. Nothing's going to separate you from God. Nothing. Did you hear me? Nothing. All right? Go ahead.
We were reckoned as sheep of slaughter, but in these things all, we overconquer through thee having loved us. For I have been persuaded that not death, nor life, nor angels, nor rulers, nor things present, nor things coming, nor powers, nor height, nor depth, nor any creature or in creation other will be able us to separate from the love of God in Christ Jesus, the Lord of us.
It doesn't matter what it is.
No matter.
Nothing's going to separate you from God.
No matter.
Nothing. Nothing's going to separate you from God. Mm-hmm. Not because you have been saved, and you have been saved by God, and you are saved to him. And all these things we're going through in the time zone, they mean nothing. All these things we're going through in the time zone, they mean nothing. Everything here that we're going through is just a time. It's just minutia of things that are happening to you, but they don't mean anything to you towards your salvation. Nothing can separate you from the love of God. Nothing. Nothing can separate you from the love of God. I don't care what it is, what comes, anything. It does not separate you from the love of God. And he's made a commitment to you. And you know what? That's a spiritual commitment. I'll take that any day. Amen? Because we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ. And that's something that we want to take in consideration, because if you are saved by him, no matter what your situation is, you're going to have to stand before him, and you're going to give an account for everything that you've done in this body. Amen? You might get by, but you won't get away. Amen? All right, 1 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 10, 9, 10 through 16. First Corinthians chapter 9:1-9, 10 through 16. What is 9 through 16? Okay, let's see. That's two. Let's see. Through 16, 2 Corinthians 9, I mean, 2nd chapter. 2nd chapter, 9 through 16.
We're reading now from 1 Corinthians chapter 2, beginning at verse 9, King James Version. But as it is written, I have not seen, nor ear heard, neither have entered into the heart of man the things which God hath prepared for them loving him. But God hath revealed them unto us by his Spirit. For the Spirit searcheth all things, yea, the deep things of God. For what man knoweth the things of a man, save the spirit of man which is in him? Even so the things of God knoweth no man, but the Spirit of God. Now we have received not the spirit of the world, but the Spirit which is of God, that we might know the things that are freely given to us of God, which things also we speak, not in the words which man's wisdom teacheth, but which the Holy Ghost teacheth, comparing spiritual with spiritual. But the natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness unto him, neither can he know them, because they are spiritually discerned. But he that is spiritual judgeth all things, yet he himself is judged of no man. For who hath known the mind of the Lord that he may instruct him? But we have the mind of Christ.
Okay. Now, it's important for us to love the Lord and to cherish him, because he's got things planned for us that we don't understand, or we don't we just don't have no idea of what he's going to do for us. And in verse 9 he says, but as it is written, I have not seen, nor ear heard, not have entered into the heart of man the things which God has prepared for them that love him. Those people who love God and the things that are coming for us, our character as believers, he has things planned for us. If we don't, it would just blow our minds. And that's one of the reasons why we should be thankful to be in the body of Christ. Did you know that in the body of Christ that we're going to judge the world, and we're going to judge angels, and we're going to be with him, and we're going to get his nature? That's what's important. That's something that we can't even begin to imagine, that we will get the nature of God, and to be able to be with God throughout all eternity, and being in his body and being there with him. That's mind blowing. And that's what makes it so great and so wonderful, is that the love of God has been shed abroad in our hearts, that we realize the fact that there is something behind this place, that where we are, is something beyond this place. All of the Cadillacs and Mercedes and all of those things, that's all garbage. All of it is going to be gone away. And we're going to be going to a place where we're going to be there with God throughout all eternity. And it's just, and I can't imagine it. I can't imagine it at all. But I'm just looking forward to the day when I go there. We have.
Thank you, Jesus.
Now, when we have this knowledge, and this knowledge has been given to us, a lot of times we cannot express it the way we should to other people, and we have people that don't agree with us and everything. Well, God gave us a reason for that. He gave us a reason to communicate with people who don't have the knowledge. Romans 15, 4 through 6. And we got this out of Pastor's little joy thing the other night. The Deacon Gavin gave a lesson of 4, 5, and 6.
We're reading from the 15th chapter of Romans, beginning at the 4th verse, Greek interlineal. For whatever things were previously written for our teaching were written.
Amen.
In order that through patience and through the comfort of the writings,
okay,
hope we may have,
right,
having had, and the God of patience and of comfort give to you the same thing to mind among one another,
amen,
according to Christ Jesus, in order that with one accord, with one mouth, we may glorify the God and Father of the Lord of us, Jesus Christ.
Okay, all of us are saved and everything, and we have people who have different opinions and everything. Don't argue anything like you, because you're all in Christ. You can share your opinion with them, they're with you, but the fact of the matter is, you can't change their minds. It's the Holy Spirit who does the changing. Amen. It's the Holy Spirit that does the changing. And what you do is you put out what you can say, well, I disagree with you and this and that, and you can put out what you believe and follow it up with scriptures and everything. But there's nothing you can do to change a person's mind except the Holy Spirit does it. Amen? So don't worry about it. You put your mind, put it out there, and then you give it to them, and then they give you back their feedback. But don't try to change them anything, because you can't do it. Mm-hmm. The Holy Spirit has to do it. Mm-hmm. Amen. Mm-hmm. Therefore, we henceforth know no man after the flesh, and we henceforth know him no more. Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creation. Old things are passed away, though all things become new. Amen. All right. So what is the newness in Christ? It's ironic that what he was talking about today, I was going to say it. It's right here. Amen. What comes with the new man? Well, we know what the old man has, but with the new man that's in Christ, love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. All of those things are with the new man. The new man in Christ Jesus. That's what happens to you. That's what happens to you when you accept Christ, and when you try to live right and try to do the study of God's word and try to go out and learn as much as you can for the sake of learning, for you to grow and grow and grow and grow. By the way, I watched the wormhole that was on TV in Atlanta. I watched it, and I came to the same conclusion that Pastor did. When he said another universe and everything and all those things, but the fact of the matter is that when you come to Christ, and this is what happens to you. Paul got his message from Jesus on the desert of Arabia, and it was everlasting life that he talked about, rule and reign with Christ, and with his with him throughout eternity, and to acquire his nature. Now, if this is for us and everything, then what is it for the nation of Israel? The nation of Israel is still waiting on their Messiah. They're still waiting to be taken care of. Israel is God's elect people on earth. The gospel and the books of 1 John, 1st, 2nd, 3rd John, 1st and 2nd Peter, Jude, and Acts 1 through 8. Chapters were written for the Jews. That is not in, they have nothing to do with the Gentiles. Those books are for the Jews. The thing is that everything that goes down in those books are for the Jews. In the New Covenant, baptism and the law will be in effect. The 12 disciples ruling over the 12 of the nation of Israel, Matthew 17, 27 through 30. And it's, so we're going to have the nation of judges again. And Christ will be the king. It is a spiritual blasphemy to declare one's eternal state or save because they don't know the Lord as you know him. As simple as that. If my daughter is a Muslim or something like that, I don't know whether she's saved or not. Now, I'm going to get, the pastor going to hear a lot about that because I said that. But I don't know if the person, if it's a Jehovah's Witness, I don't know whether he's saved or not. I'm not going to condemn him to hell because I don't know whether he's saved or not. And you don't know whether he's saved or not. So, the thing is to let God make the determination who's saved and who isn't. That's the way to do it. Because we don't know. We don't know. If the person was selected or elected before the foundation of the world, that's them, between them and God. Amen. You have nothing to do with it. Amen. And keep your nose out of it. because you don't know. You don't know whether they're saved or not. I'm just saying it. I'm just saying it, and I believe it because you don't know. We don't know whether you're saved or not. Amen? Now, everything here is temporary as I close. Our jobs, our houses, our investments, our careers, our money, labor, contracts, kids, grandkids, aunts, uncles, fathers, and mothers. They're all here for testimony's sake. That's all. They're here for testimony's sake. The fact of the matter is, we don't know the situation because God is the one who's in control. And all of the stuff that we put a lot of emphasis on, about how much money we got and how many big things we got and what we have and all that, it doesn't mean a hill of beans. And all of it's going to be destroyed. All of it. And you can bet on that. It's not going to be here forever. It's going to be here for just a little while. Just like you're here for just a little while. And don't put a lot of faith in your money or anything like that because it's all going to leave. You want to leave it, it's going to leave you one or the other. That's how it is. And so, I'm just telling you because the pastor said it over and over and over and he wants us to be on the same accord and I'm on the same accord with him on that. There's nothing in this world that we see, feel, touch, hear, smell is not going to be around forever. It's going to all be disappeared just like that. So don't put any hope in it because it's not going to be here forever. And you're not going to be here forever. The fact of the matter is that the things that we put our faith and our hope in, it doesn't mean a hill of beans. And you might as well get used to us telling you that because we all want to be telling you. Elder Lim will be telling you. Sister Lim will be telling you. Dean Gamble will be telling you. And I know the pastor's going to be telling you. So it's just you're going to get it from one to the other. Five people. Amen. Telling you about the grace of God because that's what it's about. The only thing that's important to us is what God has planned for us. That's the only thing that's important. What God has planned for us. What's going to happen as far as the plan of God is concerned. If it's in the plan of God, if it's been decreed, it's going to happen. And there's nothing you can do about it. So, that's how it is, and I thank you for letting me speak today, Pastor, and God bless you. Hallelujah. Amen.